But this morning we want to look at Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, as we begin looking at the seven churches in the book of Revelation. And so if you would turn to that now if you haven't already. And let me just say a couple of things about Revelation. When you read Revelation, okay, realize, as you probably know, there's all kinds of views, okay? And even on this particular passage, which we'll talk about in a minute. But when you hear somebody say something, look at the text and say, okay, is it there? Okay, I remember years ago reading a book, and they said that the grasshoppers or scorpions that are in the book of Revelation are helicopters. I thought, oh, well, that's an interesting idea. Is it true? Could be, but that's his idea. It's a very creative idea, and that's the way it is with a lot of the book of Revelation. But the main thing that we want to do is get to Jesus. That's why the book was written. Not for our speculations, but to point us to Jesus and to motivate us in holy living as we await his return. So let's pray together as we look at God's word. Lord Jesus, you said in Matthew that we're two or three gathered. Even in difficult times, you said there. You said that you are there among them. And so we believe by faith that you are here among us. But you also left us your word, which you said is inspired by your spirit that moved men of God along by your spirit like a sail on a boat, so that we might hear from you. So, Lord, would you take these words, which you gave by your Spirit, would you express your presence among us, Jesus, as you have many times before? Would you speak in ways that, while we're together, that are beyond what you do when we're apart? But, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters down in the Dominican Republic, and for others that are there with them, that you would bless their time of worship and their ministry this week, give them strength and safety and good weather, and provide for all of their needs and the needs for those who are at home. And Lord, would you provide for our needs here as we follow you as a people of God here in our area. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We might recall the story of the Tin Man and the Wizard of Oz. So the Tin Man just chopped all day long. And Dorothy got to him, and he said, all I can do is chop. Chop, 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 chop. But he did it with no heart, so he had no love for his work. He had no tears with his perspiration. He had no anger when he nicked his thumb or whatever he might do. He was a worker with no heart. And when I think about the church, I wonder sometimes, are we like a tin man? Are we folks that just work and work and work and work? So we put a worship service together, and we work very hard for this morning. And we do things during the week. We're working very hard to pay our bills, and looks like we're going to be working very hard to keep the place clean, like we have in the past. We work really hard to get the word out and to share Christ with people and to share his love with people during the week and to build programs for children and for youth and for adults. But how's our heart? How is our heart? That's what Jesus is saying here through the words of John. Are we merely efficient? Somebody asked, looking at this description in Ephesus. When we think about the story of Scripture, we think about kind of the bookends. And the first, the beginning bookend, of course, is the creation. And we're at the other side this morning, and will be for the next several weeks. We are at the ending, the last bookend, which is the end of time, is Revelation. It's the beginning. It's moving toward the new heaven and new earth. But there's something that's happened in between that Jesus is talking about, and that is the seven churches. And if you look closer at this a little bit later on, you'll see that there's seven dots here, seven pushpins. And then these were churches that John was familiar with. John was down here on Patmos, an island out in the middle of the Mediterranean, and he was writing what may well have been a circular letter, a letter that may have gone to these seven churches that were not too far from him. And we start this morning, this is modern day Turkey. And so this is just off the coast, and this is Greece. I mean, is Ephesus, I'm sorry, not Ephesus, off the coast of Turkey. And I see the whiteheads there. Jeff spent a lot of time in the Mediterranean. If you want to know more about that area of the world, you can speak to our Navy man. And that's the church that we're talking about this morning. But what, as we begin the book of Revelation, we have a vision of the majestic Christ, Christ on his throne. And he's getting ready. He will, as we move through the book of Revelation, to the end of time, where he will judge the world for all of time. But before he gets to the end, actually before the time when he left the planet, when he rose from the dead and established churches like these and ours, he added us onto the people of God. He grafted us in, written about elsewhere. And he says, you know, before I judge the world, before we get on to the end, he says, I need to look at how you're doing as God's people. And he said, I got something to say about it. And so he talks about walking among seven, what he calls candlesticks. Seven candlesticks that represent the life of God that are watched over by seven stars. May it be that there's seven angels, perhaps. Would it be something, maybe there's an angel assigned to Valley View. Isn't that fun to think about? And this was a time when they were being opposed in the early days of the church. And he encourages them to stay faithful to the Lord. And in these seven letters to seven churches, we see timeless principles, lights to live by for the church. Now, people differ in how they look at this. Some say that this represents the churches for all of time. If you read about this, you'll see that there's some that I would say speculate on, are these talking about the seven churches throughout time? There are others that would say it's both. I would say, we don't know, but it's got a good message for us to hear from the Lord, and the main thing is to hear what he has to say to us. And what he's saying to Ephesus, there's something about your heart that's not right. He said, your heart is off center. He said, Dorothy might say that you're a tin man. There's something wrong. Something missing inside. And so like he does with all of the churches, he walks Ephesus through a checkup. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus walking among the churches. And what he says, you know, you are really busy. He said, you're outwardly healthy. He said, you are faithful. He said, if we go over to the book of Ephesus, he says that he talks about, it's in the book of Ephesus that we hear about the gifts that Christ has given to the body and that they're using to build up the body. They were working hard and they were one of the beginning churches. They were showing us how to do it. They gave us a blueprint of how to be a church. And when I look at our church this morning and throughout the week, I see an active church, I see folks that are working and working and praying and giving. We're working to bring our church back to health. When I sit down with the leaders, we say, you know, they have said to me, those that are with us are really involved. Those that are with us are very faithful. They are using their gifts. Many of them, and I see this, doing more than would normally be done. You know, and I was thinking this morning as we were talking about cleaning again, about the early days of this church. And Dee Zellers used to say, Paul's daughter, who was around in those days as a young mom, she said those were the greatest days of her life. Jeff and Renee talk about that. They were involved in getting the Elizabethtown church going. Many of you were here in the early days. We're rebuilding again. It may be that these are the greatest days of our lives. But it's coming about because we're working hard at something. And we are. He told them that they were biblically correct. They were Bible-believing people. They were committed to theology, to right beliefs. And again, remember, this is before they had all of the scriptures. When Paul spoke to them in Acts chapter 20, he prayed for them for the last time. This church that he had been involved in founding had stuck around behind to instruct, especially. But he said, you know, you live at a crossroads of the world. So he said, be careful. He said, be careful. This is in Acts chapter 20. He says, be careful. He says, because you're in a vulnerable spot. There's people speaking everything into your ear. And I wonder today, you know, we're not exactly in New York City here, but New York City's come to us. We got the crossroads of the world all over us. On our phones, you know, we got everything right there. And just like our brothers and sisters there, we're vulnerable. And so, you know, I've quoted my old professor along for many times who said, keep your finger on the text. Keep your finger on the text. That's why we list Bible verses here, but you hear what I might say or someone else might say. Make sure that it's there. Popular issues of the day. Dig into the text. Say, okay, what does the Bible say about this? There's some things that Christians differ about. Make sure that those Christians are going to the text. But then he said, you're tough. Now, the place that this church was founded was in a major city. It had a major idol to a pagan deity. And they made a lot of money off of selling these idols and having all the people from all over the world come to this crossroads of the world. And then what happened was when they founded the church, Paul stuck around for a long time. But at the beginning, the business people started getting nervous about this. And so they started rioting. And eventually they brought them to the stadium. And there was a riot, and then the city clerk came and he calmed them down. But they never quit. They kept going. Paul stuck around and he continued to teach them for day after day after day. And I look at us. Sometimes even when you got a pastor who's got a cold, you're gracious and you never quit. And our church has had lots of ups and downs. We've had some tough times in the times of COVID. But you know, we're tough. There's some folks that work very, very hard and stick with the stuff. We had, as we moved just before COVID, the church had been in some years a decline. We started something called Changing Course. Things were starting to take off again. And then all of a sudden we're locked in because of COVID. We got out of COVID, sort of, kind of, I hope. And now we're doing Changing Course 2.0. But we're sticking with the stuff. We're looking to the Lord. As our board talks, as Alan mentioned this morning, we're encouraged. we're hopeful. We know that we're sort of on a precipice. But we're toughing it out by the grace of God. We are outwardly healthy and looking good in terms of our hard work, in terms of our biblical correctness, in terms of our activity. But the doctor says, you got a problem on the inside. You're sick within. He says, you've lost your first love. It's not at the center anymore. It's on the periphery. There's something that's missing, he says. And the prescription he gives is to go back to the height of how things were. Now, the way that things were was that they were just overcome with the love of Jesus. See, it began with the love of Jesus for them there in Ephesus. And because they realized how great Christ's love was for them, they had a great love back for Christ. And because of that great love for Christ and the great how Christ had been gracious to them, then they had a tremendous love for others. They had a love for Jesus. They just couldn't wait in their early days to get together and worship. Even though it might have been under difficult circumstances, they couldn't wait to get together and worship. They couldn't wait together to get together and hear more about God's word. They couldn't wait to get together and pray. They couldn't wait to get together and serve. It wasn't just a chore. It wasn't a routine. They couldn't wait to love one another. They had a deep love for one another. They were serving under difficult circumstances. When the world didn't want, when their city didn't want them to continue. There are people that are going through hardships because of persecution for their faith. But they just couldn't wait because Christ had so filled them that they were filled with love for Jesus and love for one another. You've been over to Chickie's Rock, I'm sure. Early on, somebody told us that was the best place, their favorite place in all of this area. And so we went over there, we went up to Chickie's Rock, went up to the top, and you're looking down and you see the Susquehanna River. And, you know, I mean, it's just a beautiful, beautiful spot to see everything. And what Jesus is saying through John is we need to go back to the top. Get up there again. Look at the big picture and remember how much we are loved by Jesus so that we'll say, oh man, how could I keep from loving him back like that? And how could I keep from loving others just like he has loved me? Next, he says we ought to repent. We need to repent. We need to repent means to turn around, to go back to our former ways, to about face, to say, Lord, you know, I've lost that love for you. Lord, I've lost that love for other people. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, that he's faithful, he's just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He calls us to return to our love for Jesus that was way up there. Might have been at the beginning when we first came to Jesus. He calls us to return to our love for others. It might have been we just couldn't wait to get together with others. He says, repent of just saying, I'm just doing this because I got to do it. I'm getting up Sunday morning because I got to do it. I'm reading my Bible. He says we need to turn aside from that and repent of that. But he says, you know, there's a warning label on this. He says, if you don't listen to me, then the prescription is going to expire. It won't be good anymore. He says, the candle will be blown out by me. You see, he wants our heart back. He doesn't care so much about our hard work. That's all good. But he wants us to begin with the heart at the center and let everything else flow out of that. But he says, I got something to encourage you with. He said that you hate inconsistency. He says, I'm sharing with you your inconsistency right now. He says, that means that you love integrity. He says, you hate the Nicolaitans, and we don't know much about who the Nicolaitans were, except that it seems like they were inconsistent, that they were compromising with the world around them. They were listening to the other voices that were in their city instead of primarily to the Word of God. Jesus said, if we love Him, our lives will be consistent. If we love Him, we'll obey Him. James says, if we're wise, we'll be pure. You see, look carefully here and think in terms of the entire story of Scripture. He's calling us back to the way things began. He's calling us back to Eden. He's calling us back to paradise. And you remember what paradise was like before we fell. Everything was beautiful. Everything was great. And Adam and Eve had these daily appointments with God. They went for a walk in the garden. And he walked with them and he talked with them, as the old hymn goes, and he told them they were his own. There's no better life than that. And we can live life no matter what the circumstances of life, no matter what the circumstances of our church's life. We can live like we are back in the Garden of Eden. We can live in paradise by going back to the center and renewing our heart before God. You remember what the Tin Man said? He met Dorothy. He said, oh, Dorothy. He said, what's going on? She said, I'm going to see the wizard. He said, take me to the wizard. He said, I need a new heart. And isn't that what we need as well? To go to Jesus and say, Jesus, won't you take me to your Father? Won't you take me to the Father? Lord, I want that heart. I want my heart renewed. Lord, I want to love you like I did at the beginning. Lord, I want to love you more than I did at the beginning. Lord, I want to love people around me like I used to. I want to love people in the same way that you love me. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love you this morning. We're humbled to walk in the pathway of our brothers and sisters from long ago. And Lord, we're grateful for this portion of your word that takes us to the doctor and says, okay, how are we doing? And Lord, as we begin, we see that what you care about is our heart. Lord, would you renew our hearts today? Lord, help us to love you more. And Lord, would you begin it all by reminding us how much you love us? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.